Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Fabulous. If you will, turn to 2 Kings chapter 23. We're going to Old Testimonial today. 2 Kings chapter 23. While you're turning, I'm going to share this joke I had, and I'm going to pray, and we'll get started. A few minutes before the service started, the townspeople were sitting in their pews and talking. Suddenly, Satan appeared at the front of the church. Everyone started screaming and running for the front entrance, trampling each other in a frantic effort to get away from evil incarnate. Soon, everyone had exited the church except for one older gentleman who sat calmly in his pew without moving, seeming oblivious to the fact that God's ultimate enemy was in his presence. So Satan walked up to the old man and said, "Don't you know who I am?" The man replied, "Yep, sure do." "Aren't you afraid of me?" Satan asked. "Nope, I sure ain't," said the man. "Don't you realize I could kill you with the word?" asked Satan. "With just one word?" asked Satan. "Don't doubt it for a minute," returned the old man in an even tone. "Did you know that I could cause you profound, horrifying, physical agony for all eternity?" persisted Satan. "Yep," was the calm reply. "And you're still not afraid?" asked Satan. "Nope." More than angry now, Satan asks, "Well, why are you not afraid of me?" The man calmly replied, "I've been married to your sister for the last 48 years. There we go. I thought y'all might enjoy that one. 2 Kings chapter 23. And the title, they sang "The Heart of Worship." I wanted to title this "The Heart of Worship" because it's so easy in our life from day to day to get away from the things that God wants to get away from devotion, to get away from prayer. And it just takes one little thing sometimes to head us in the wrong direction. So I want to look at Josiah this morning in the book and how he came pretty much to the heart of worship and how we can through his example. But Josiah was 8 years of age when he became king. I know children's church left. Is there anybody here that's 8 years old? Stand up if you're eight. Raise your hand. You don't have to stand up. I see. Okay. So we have a couple 8 years. Okay. Can you imagine being king or queen? They did, however, have co-regents, and that helped them. That helped them carry out his duties as they got older and stuff. Some of the things he couldn't do, so he wasn't released on his own. I'd be wanting to play games and stuff at 8 years old. I still do at 30, at 34. I wouldn't want to be king. But Josiah was probably one of the best kings to ever reign in Judah. As I go through this and look through, but he ruled for 31 years. 31 years, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And we're going to read that. But he wanted his land to come to the heart of worship. That song they did, it doesn't matter. I mean, he is endless worth. He wanted to come there. He got hold of God's word, and it just broke him down, and it started revival in his heart. And he started pretty much through God. The God put him in the right time, the right spot, and just really set a wildfire in this land. And there's a problem going on before he came. His father, Ammon was not worshiping the Lord. He got away, so all this false worship and all these things were set up in high places that didn't honor God. In chapter 22, so I'm about to read 23. In chapter 22, Josiah tore his clothes when he found the book of the Lord, rent them open, and realized the terrible sin that the country was in. Some of us might feel like that towards America at times. We just want to just weep and cry. But he feared the Lord and respected his word. And that's our challenge today. We've got to reverence what's in the scriptures. You know, the society's not going to care. They'll think we're a bunch of crazy people. Man, y'all have this book, 66 books. You know, we did the skit. And what is this? But let me tell you what, it's some life-changing information in here, life-changing God's word in here. But I'm going to read here in 2 Kings 23. I'm not going to read all the verses. Y'all can get the picture in here in a minute. But let me start in verse 1. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come here and worship you, for doing skits and singing, Lord. It blessed my heart to see this, Lord, to see the heart of the young people and, Lord, all the songs and even Roland, Lord, singing. God, thank you for such a blessing just to come in. The freedom we have to worship you, no matter what Satan thinks, God, we have the freedom to worship you, and he can't ever quench that and can't ever stop that, Lord. And I'm grateful and thankful for that. So, Lord, I just pray you be with us now for the rest of the service. Through the reading of your word, God, that whatever strength we have, that you'll be glorified, God, that you will be magnified in everything we do. And God, there's something as we go through this message, as we see Josiah come to the heart of worship, God, I know there's things in my life and there's still things, God, that distract me. But Lord, will you help us search our hearts this morning? God, reveal things in our hearts that is just keeping us from you, from keeping us from having revival, Lord. And be with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, saying about revival, we need every day's revival. Don't y'all agree with that? Every single day we wake up, we need an awakening. We need revival. It's not like a one or two time a year thing. It's every single morning. Some of us look in the mirror, we might need it more than once a day. 2 Kings chapter 23, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant, this covenant that were written in this book. And the people stood to the covenant. Verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made of Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them into Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah, in the cities of Judah, and the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense in the Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of the heaven. Some crazy stuff going on. And brought out the grove in verse 6 from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem into the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof into the graves of the children of the people. Verse 7, and he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were entering in the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Verse 9, nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not of the altar. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And, verse 10, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire of Moloch. And he took away the horses that were the kings of Judah had given to the son, and the entering in the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nethamelech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots, the sun, with the fire. Verse 12, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chambers of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made into the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. So Josiah's cleaning house. Let's go down to verse 24 and 25, and I'll end there. But he's cleaning house. He's tearing all these things. People are worshiping. He said there's no more people be going through Moloch, and I'll explain some of these things in a minute. But he's cleaning house. So verse 4 says, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the books, in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. In verse 22 is where he found this, where he written his clothes, when he found the word of the Lord. In verse 25 it says, and like unto him there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. So how can we come to the heart of worship? We see this. We've got to recognize the first thing, what's between us and God, as Josiah did. He realized after he read the book of the law, as I said a while ago, and he rent his clothes. And we see here there's many idols. In verse 4, we see Baal, the sun god. There's idolatrous priests. Just read through all of them. And all these false worship going on in the high gates. And he realized this defiled what God wanted. Topheth, Topheth in the other verse 10, was a place where children were sacrificed in fire. This place literally means to be burned. You think about that, it almost sounds like abortion today. So abortion ain't nothing new. It's been going on that people, but they would send them through this fire and burn their children alive for a sacrifice. And let me tell you, it still goes on today. People, maybe not exactly like that, but in our land today, people are killing, doesn't enjoy life. They hate life. So when I read through that, it almost sounded like abortion day, killing kids. And if they're born, you still can kill them. And, you know, we're in a sad land too, as Judah was in a sad time. America, I mean, we're pretty strong overall. And I mean, I think God definitely has his hand some, but we're in some sad times also. There's a lot of things up that doesn't worship God. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go out, that we're in a position to go out and start stepping things down. But, you know, it starts with us. It starts with the people of God. If we want a thing, we got to recognize what's wrong with us, what's going on in our life. And, you know, that's something I daily fight. I daily fight God on it at times. He tries to show me something, and I still struggle, and I still fight what he wants me to do. But Josiah also recognized Asherah, the love goddess, and the only love these people need was the love of God, and not the lust and all these things. So, you know, we all have different things. I'm going to share a survey. In the last 15 years, I took a survey, some distractions and idols in our life that I took through the last few years. And nothing, you know, astonishing or anything. But I think if we soak God's word in, it's really tough. I think you think of some of the basic things for believers, but I think praying and reading God's word and having devotion time that's a challenge. Our flesh, even Paul, I believe, said our flesh is weak, but our spirit is willing to have that time. Because can you imagine not going without food for 2 weeks? Let me tell you, if I go without food for 12 days, I'm not the same person. I'm going to get mad. I might start biting people. So I won't say too much about food. I know everybody's ready for Bojangles. But some fried chicken. But can you imagine the same thing physically after, you know, you go without food, maybe even water. You can't go without water for more than like 3 days for dehydration. Same thing with God's word. We start getting dehydrated. And the things of the world, like what happened during Josiah's dad, just let things go. The same things can happen in our life. When we start starving ourselves and not spending time. And it's happened in my life. Even my Christian walk has happened at times. And but I think the more we soak this in, the more we're sprout out and getting God to help us and know what things to get rid of in our life. And I'm not saying we'll be perfect or anything like that. But coming to the heart of worship, only God can help us. It's about him. It's nothing about, you know, praise God he's allowed us to be even part of his plan. That's amazing to me. But, you know, he wants us to walk after him. He's a very jealous God. He wants us to concentrate on him. But I took over 15 years, I took this and just asked people what are some things that they felt like idols. And I'm going to share what people shared. So I compiled a list. And, you know, some of the basic things, TV. There's this guy, you know, TV, sometimes it can be an idol. Nothing wrong, but, you know, how much do we focus on it? There's this guy from Africa. He came and he talked to one of my friends and he said, y'all have shrines. You have the TVs up on these stands, and I see people yelling at it, screaming at it, even crying. Anybody cried a movie before? No. But, you know, this guy, he was astonished. He's like, wow, y'all have all this stuff. And I'm not saying it's bad, but, you know, to him, he's like, I see y'all praising, you know, doing all this. So the survey I took, TV was one of the top. Computers, movies, music. I know most of the youth group like Justin Bieber. cars. I think one of the biggest idols is self. I think sometimes that can be, you know, selfies, cell phones, spending hours and hours upon time on it. And sports. You know, think about Michael Jordan. We want to be like Mike or LeBron James. I guess that's more modern because I guess LeBron James is probably the star nowadays. But you know, UNC, Duke, anything that's outside of UNC is ungodly. Just want to let y'all know. If y'all are state fans, you better repent. even work. People said that work was on their list. It becomes an idol. They want to make money and go, and they get so concentrated in that it becomes like the number one thing in their life, and it becomes like up there in the time. But I think, you know, the time you spend with something the most, it becomes a god at times, and it becomes one of your top desires. But, you know, God will show us. And like I said, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of this stuff. It's just how much time do we spend in it. If we have a balanced, you know, but, you know, what's in your life? I don't know everybody, you know, that's the question I have today. What do you realize what's going on in your life? Everybody has different things. Everybody's going through different struggles or different times. And if you say you're perfect, I don't believe you. Only Christ is perfect in us. And if we do have good days or weeks, it's because of Him, because He's perfecting us. And the flesh, like I said, like it's gonna come up. Satan's coming up against us. Anytime you take steps forward for God, you're a big target. You get in the spotlight for God, you're going to be in a big target for Him. And for Satan to come attack you. So we see here that Josiah took action. And the same thing with our life, we got to realize what it is. Sometimes, here's my problem too, and this might be some of our problems. Sometimes we realize what it is, and sometimes there's multiple things. We'll get rid of everything, but keep one little thing around. I'm guilty of that. And I'm pretty sure many of us are guilty of that at times. Sometimes we're like, hey, I can get rid of this and this and this. Oh, man, this reminds me of something. I just want to keep hold of it. I want to keep hold of this. So you might go through, and I've gone through years upon years with an idol that's distracting me. Not that God hasn't blessed and God used, but an idol or something that has distracted me in my Christian walk that I couldn't just fully let loose for God. And then, you know, He still had great, God still used good moments and amazing things, but there's been things that last years and years, sometimes decades, that we hold on to. Is there something this morning that you've been holding on to for maybe 10 or 15 years that you say, God, I'm tired of it now. I want to get rid of it. Would there be something like somebody here like that? You don't got to raise your hand or anything. But, you know, this really challenged me to, and there's still things in my life that I came up to even preach this. I didn't want to share some of this stuff. But, you know, it's like, man, there's so many things we can hold on to at times that becomes almost a God in our life. So once we realize that, do we want to get rid of all of it or just hold on a little bit? It's all or nothing. That's what God wants, all or nothing. And we don't have to do it on our own. And I don't have no magic formula, but just pray and ask God. Say, God, I want you to be number one. What's keeping us from revival? Sometimes apathy. Sometimes we just don't even care to come to just a heart of worship with God. Sometimes it's sin, just disobedience. And there's, like I said, there's things we don't want to give up. So once we recognize the problem, we can do what Josiah did, and that's take action. That's the clean house. Anybody done spring cleaning in here? Some people done spring cleaning. Don't y'all enjoy that? Yeah, everybody's enjoying that. So Josiah realized what's going on in this land. Then he cleaned house. He did some cleaning. He did maybe spring cleaning. I don't know what everyone would call it. But he took action. He got rid of this out of Baal and Ashtoreth and all these things that people were sacrificing children and the idols. And man, people worshiping the sun. Man, I go outside at night and I look at the stars and it amazes me how God made it. But I ain't gonna sit there and worship no moon or something or a star, you know. I mean, it's amazing. But I'm worshiping the one that created it, the one that made it. And but we have people, we have even some people in the government in Washington, they come out and some of them worship some of the planets and stuff. I'm like, man, we definitely need to pray for them. you know, and like I said earlier, though, man, our nation, it is in the mess. We're having a battle between life, between good, between evil. And, you know, it's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. It's just been going on. And, you know, as Christians, we should feel like aliens. We should feel so out of place that we actually do take action and clean house. And I'm not saying go out and hit somebody in the head with the Bible. Some people might need it. but we got to take action in our own life and then go from there. You know, is there a wall? Is there something between you and God? As I said, is there, you know, sometimes anger, sometimes lust, sometimes there's envy. Sometimes there's something somebody's wanted. They just like wanted something for like their whole life. And that's become like the top part of their life, the highlight of their life. And sometimes God's just taking the back seat. You know, it's like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. When Jesus take the wheel, I thought I could get in the driver's side or the passenger seat. But you know, sometimes you still want to lean over and get the wheel. The back seat, you still want to lean over. So I told God to put me in the trunk. That way I can't even lean over no more and grab it. You can't grab it then. but, you know, we were made. That's in Revelation, talk about we were made to worship God. We were made to hold Him holy above all. That's what we're... But, you know, these actions, these idols, and it's nothing... I mean, it's nothing to look lightly at. They are tough. Some of these things have strongholds on us. Some of these things will almost feel like they're going to break us to let go, but God can do it. God will let go, and it's nothing better than just having full revival and full heart of worship with Him. And I'm not saying if you have distraction now, God... Let me tell you, I've had distractions, and God's been so good and so graceful at times. I don't even know why we deserve it at times, but He's still an amazing God. You know, talking about amazing grace, it works... You know, grace to save us and grace to keep us going. Grace when we fail. Grace when we have idols. Grace in every aspect of our life. It's amazing. And I'm definitely thankful for that. But we got to take action in our life and just turn from it. And maybe there's somebody here that's never turned to God. I don't know. There's a good crowd here. Has there been a time in your life where you've actually turned to God? Where you say, God, I just want you to save me. Has there been that time? If there's not, today's the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed this afternoon. We're not guaranteed 5 minutes from now. But today is the day of salvation when you turn to God and let him have full control of your life. But is God number one, or sometimes is he just number two, number three? That's the question, you know, I have to ask myself on a daily basis at times. Because there's so many distractions in this world. There's so many things, so many idols. So how can we come so we recognize what's in our life, take action as Josiah did in verse 25. He turned completely to God. And in verse 25, it says, and like it to him, there's no king before him that turned to the Lord with all their heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Neither him arose after him like any like him. So once we take action, just turn. You know, this is just a good little example in here, how Josiah did. You know, give God every aspect of your life. And like I said, that's tough too. Your love life, your dating life, your work life, your social life, your family life. Give God your spare time and just let him work out the things. Let him work out the details and everything else. Just think about what Jesus went through for us. You know, what little we can do, you know, go through him. Like I said, every step, every heartbeat, we need him. When we come back to this heart of worship. And as I close here, I'm going to go ahead and close, and I know it's getting down. If you will, just bow your heads. And I'm going to close in prayer in a few minutes, but I just want to give time for y'all to just examine your own hearts. You know, what's in your heart? What are you going through? Every one of us is going through something. And I hope this is a short message here just to encourage you. I hope today encourage you. But, you know, what's there? What's causing you not to come to the heart of worship? When it is about him, it's all about him, not about us. When everything fades, when the music fades, when the loudness of life fades, and it's all about him. You know what? When all that fades, you know what's important in your life? Is it about him? Is it about Jesus? So this time, I'll just let you pray where you are, or come up wherever you want to do. You know, I'm just gonna close. And dismiss after that. But I'll give you this time just to pray, and I'll close this.
Longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you had required. You search much deeper within through the way it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and I'm poor, all I have is yours. every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've It's all about you. It's all about you. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Charles. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you. God, I just pray if there's anything in our life that's distracting, Lord, you'll show us. Because I know we're not perfect. We're so imperfect. But God, you perfect us to be more like you. To become more like your Son. So God, help us be more like Jesus. Help us look more like you every day. And God, I thank you for giving us so many retakes at times. Your grace is amazing. Retake after retake sometimes, Lord, just to get us right. So God, I praise you and I thank you for who you are. You're worthy of all praise. God, will you just be with us as we part our ways and help us be a light into the community. Help us come to the heart of worship and shine our lights like never before in 2019, Lord. That we may worship you no matter where we are, no matter where we go. God, I'm glad that you're with us, that you're by our side every step of the way, Lord. And your love is so intense, it's unbelievable. Forgive us, Lord, where we fall short, and help us grow, transform us. Use your words, Lord, to make us usable for you.